Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's Open Championship. And joining me to break it all down, Sia Najad is here. Sia, rank these names. The Open Championship, the British Open. Go.
It's funny because I was just going to say that I thought you were about to slip and say the British Open, but my favorite is the British Open. That's number one, and then I'll take the Open number two.
Shocked that you went with the two extremes as one and two, and the middle ground one, number three. I would never say British Open seriously, but that is how I would create content because that's what people type into Google. So it's good for SEO. Greg, wait. Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, what do you think?
So I got a couple thoughts. One, I will call it the Open Championship or the Open, simply out of respect. I have far too much respect for the event to call it by the improper name. Although I do think the British Open makes a little bit more sense to me. Here in the United States, the Open is our national championship here. So it can't be anymore, but that's what we throw. Oh yeah. He's playing in the Open. Like he's playing in the amateur. Mm. It's very similar. So I don't think there's a problem with identifying where it is. Also the fact that it has been the British Open before. It's one of the other ones at least was like last year, the senior British or the women's British Open, I believe one of those has that name in there. So I don't think there's anything wrong with having that description because it's just somewhere in Great Britain, in the UK. So, but out of respect, the Open Championship.
There you have go. We gone off the rails already?
No, perfectly on the rails. This is
all right.
Yeah,
exactly according to plan. What else would be going according to plan would be someone winning $50,000 this week, and you don't even have to do it via DFS. You can do it with the golf props. I went into the lair. I came up with the props. They're now available, and you can win $50,000 on this week's major thanks to golf props from CBS Sports. Get in the action today and compete for $50,000 worth of a jackpot plus a guaranteed cash prize going to the winner. And best of all, Golf Props is 100% free to play. Just download the CBS Sports app or go to cbssports.com/props to play now. Pretty cool. 50K if you get them all right.
I'd say. And you wrote the props?
Oh, yeah. I always write the props.
That means they're good.
Yeah, there's a couple of nods in there. Listen, it's not by accident that one of the props includes both Bryson and Brooks against one another. That's Ooh. Not an accident. There's not an accident that one of them is regarding past champions. Come on, a nod to the history. I don't mess around. These are legit.
You know what you're doing, Rick. So I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Let's see if we know what we're doing for DFS this week, because with a major championship, Sia, comes major championship pricing, which usually means soft pricing. It usually means that the favorites are not as expensive as they usually are. And there is a plethora of names throughout that kind of provide value and salary cap relief. And you can really kind of make any lineup that you want. It's available to you.
Yeah. And it's not just the softer pricing up top. I mean, when we go through these lists, it's that 7K range and 6K range where there's like a lot of eye-popping guys, whether they're on the Euro Tour or the PGA Tour. And it's like, wow, I could fit like 3 of these guys in my lineup that I would play in any, you know, tournament. And now I can really stack the guys up top. So it's funny because every time a major comes around, I always tell you guys, oh, I have the winner. Because everybody who makes a lineup during a major thinks they have the winner because the lineups are so good. So now it's just a matter of having your lineup be better than all the other good ones.
Yeah, everything on Wednesday night, which I guess this this week, I think lineup lock is 1:30 a.m. Thursday morning, I believe is the lock. But everything on Wednesday feels really, really good. But let's talk about the course here, Greg. And I'm going to pull up my site. It's rickrungood.com. I've got the course key stats model up, and we'll flip through all the pages throughout the rest of the show. But Royal St. George's, I've been trying to do as much homework as possible, Greg. And I know, as with many open championships, we are a hair at the mercy of the weather, depending on how this is going to play. And by weather, I specifically mean wind.
Yes. And that's what it looks like. Now in the practice rounds, there'll be some rain. There's rain in the forecast. We'll see what happens with that. But it looks like the four tournament days, you're going to have some pretty nice weather. Wind looks to be pretty steady throughout the week. Looks to be in the 17 to 20 mile an hour range out of some variation of the north. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, being close to the water, being in that part of the world, that can change very quickly. And a 20 mile an hour wind can play a lot firmer, and it can start to gust a little bit more. And that can, again, happen pretty quickly. But weather-wise, it kind of reminds me a little bit of a cooler Kiowa, where you kind of have a steady all 4 days. I know it changed on Sunday at Kiowa, but you have it looks like for 4 days you're going to have a very similar variation of the wind. So a unique open in that sense, where you don't have that one day where all of a sudden the wind is projected to be 30 miles an hour, or you have a big rainstorm coming in. It doesn't appear to be that way right now. But it is a little cooler. It's not going to get to 70. Apparently it may get high 60s, but it should definitely be a factor. So I'm curious to see how fast the golf course gets. I think ultimately you expect a 20 mile an hour wind in the open, but what's going to happen on the ground? Is it going to get really firm? Is it going to get really bouncy? I would say it's not going too early. It may by the end of the week.
With the big W word, Sia, wind, I want to know how much that will play into your lineup construction. And there might not be a right answer to this, but I think there is a wrong answer to this. So let's see if you can find it.
Well, the wrong answer is I'm going to completely ignore it, in my opinion.
Okay.
I mean, I that's just me. I know, Rick, I know your stance on wind and wind players when you get that question sometimes in your live chat. Yeah. But I got to be honest, if we find out that there's a certain part of the draw that has, you know, 15 mile per hour winds, and then there's another part of the draw that has 25 with 30 mile per hour gusts, like, that's a difference. Okay. It just is. So of course I might pivot off certain guys in that circumstance.
And that is certainly different than my take of who plays well in the wind and who doesn't. That to me is, we don't have the time, nor do I have the energy to argue that. But the idea, yeah, so weather can change quickly, but you could get the wrong side or the right side of the draw. And I think that is certainly worth considering, just as it is every single week on the PGA Tour. So I don't think anything like that. Greg, you know, when we start to look at winning score, which I know is, I feel like for this event, is almost impossible to try to pin down 6 days in advance. But with that caveat, how does the RNA want this to play? Do they want this to be 20 under? Do they want it to be even par? Do they want it to be somewhere in the middle and just hope that the wind kind of does their bidding for them?
Well, this is the beauty of the RNA. And it's something that they have built in. So, I mean, this, I'm sure, comes from way back when the game first started, but they've really stuck to it and they don't care. They want it to play natural, which I think is there's a real beauty to that. So the same golf course one day may be the easiest course you've ever played, and they shred it and it's easier, makes TPC Deer Run look like a major championship venue. And then the very next day, it could be a U.S. Open kind of scoring, where it's the toughest test in all of golf. And the difference is simply the weather. And they don't mess with it. They're not going to get it close to the edge. They're not going to run the risk of losing a golf course. It's always going to be fair. It's always going to hold up in the wind. I mean, I suppose there's an instance where it could get a little out of control, but they don't let the greens get so fast to where the wind blows it off the green. They're prepared for this. So they do it right for sure. And they don't care what the winning score is. So with the winds that are projected right now and the rain early in the week, I'm expecting a little better scoring than it was in 2011. I think 5-under-1 back then. We had a lot of rain. It was definitely a rain suit kind of a year back then. And without rain in the forecast, I think it'll play a little bit easier. So I would say somewhere around 10 under seems to be the right number. Unless there's a couple mornings where it's really light, or if it really lays down in the afternoons, late afternoons. And for the leaders coming in, it gets a little bit easier. If there's cloud cover and it doesn't really get burnt and fast. Typically, if there's no rain and there's just wind, it's really fast. And that's the challenge. But I don't know if we're going to get quite that brown kind of open championship. So I would say somewhere between 10 and 15 would be my lean. I'll say, to put one number on it, my guess, 12 under par.
Greg Ducharme has guaranteed the winning score will be 12 under par, so you can act accordingly. Here is the cheat sheet. Here is the board. We're going to start where we normally do, at the top. But Sia, before we do, as of this moment, which is Monday afternoon, here's mainly the list of WDs that we have had. Hideki Matsuyama, Sung J.M., Kevin Na, Matt Wolf, Siwoo Kim, Bubba Watson, K.H. Lee, Zach Johnson, Ryan Moore, Danny Lee, Louis de Jaeger, I believe is how he pronounces that, and David Duval are all out. So if you were planning on playing any of those guys, do not. Let's focus on guys that are in the field with the five at the top over $10,000. John Rahm, $11,300. Rory McIlroy, $10,900. Brooks Koepka, $10,700. DJ, Dustin Johnson, $10,400. And the X-Man, Xander Schauffele, at an even $10,000. Sia, I'm just going to let you go in any direction you would like to go here. Pick some golfers and let's start talking about them.
Well, listen, it's only fair that if Greg's going to pick the correct score, that I get to pick who's going to win the tournament. And I'm staring right at him. He's in this first range. And his name, of course, is Brooks Koepka. So I got to be honest, I like him the most. I like that he has a ton of link style experience. I like the fact that he's been good in British Opens before. Yes, on different venues, but good nonetheless. I love the fact that he really gears up in majors. And I am one that always kind of threw that narrative to the side, but it sort of bears out. And for the record, I throw it to the side when I'm talking about non-majors. In other words, I still think he wants to contend in those golf tournaments as well. But I just think Brooks is in really good form. The knee doesn't seem to be an issue. So it's Brooks and it's John Rahm for me.
So it's really interesting. I'm very partial to Brooks Koepka here in this situation. He's not as expensive as John Rahm. He will probably not be as popular as Xander Schauffele. And I think if you asked the average golf fan, the casual viewer, Greg, how Brooks Koepka has been playing, I don't think you'd be like, oh man, he's playing great. Like, but he is, right? I mean, three of his last four, he has top five finishes. Two of them are major championships. He's ball striking the heck out of it. Now we know he gets geared up. It's a weird situation. I think there's a hair of a disconnect between the perception of what Brooks Koepka has been up to and the reality of what Brooks Koepka has been up to.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, since his win, he's had two or three weak events and everything else has been contention. So most of the golf that Brooks Koepka has played this year, this calendar year, has been in contention. And there's nothing to say that will change this week. What's the area of weakness in Brooks's game? I guess you would say maybe his bunker play or his short game around the greens. Short game's so different here, and you have to manufacture shots in a completely different way. And I think it allows a player to really will the ball. It's a different skill set in that. You can be creative. You can find a way that you're comfortable with and execute. It's not always easy, but you can do that. And I believe that Brooks is among the elite in that regard. So yeah, I have a hard time going away from Brooks here. But at the same time, I have a really hard time staying away from John Rahm. It just feels like it felt going into the US Open. It feels like he is the best player in the world. I know he's number two in the world now. That's a different conversation, but he's the best player in the world. And I think Dustin Johnson would say the same thing. So mm-hmm. there's it's hard for me to stay away from Rahm because he's not a momentum player. He's just always really good. And when he has a putter that he's confident with, look out. And that's where we are right now with John Rahm. So I feel like Rahm is about to get another win, and I have a really hard time staying away from him. I know Sia and I disagree. I think Brooks Koepka may shoot 11 under and John Rahm gets to 12. So I could go either way there, and there will be a portion of my lineups that start with Koepka, but I think I'm going to lean a little farther towards John Rahm.
In John Rahm's last three starts, he has been beaten by a total of six golfers. He was six shots clear of everybody at the Memorial on Saturday night, withdrew after the positive test. He won the U.S. Open, and he finished, what's my math, T7 last week at the Scottish Open. Those are the only six guys that have beaten him in his last three starts. You want to go back further than that, he finished eighth at the PGA Championship. I mean, he's absolutely locked in. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, you go back a little bit earlier, he had a couple of strange events, but it seemed like everything was T5. He's got like four T5s on the year, literally T5s, not top fives.
No.
Tied for fifth place finishes. Yeah. The Masters being one of them. So, and the Match Play being another one. So yeah, big events. He's not afraid of them. And I feel like this is the floodgates are open. I don't feel like they're opening. I feel like they're already open, and he's just going to roll with the tide and end up with a claret jug.
Ooh, there's two. That would be nice. When your 20th major, you win your first major for the first time, and then you win your 21st major appearance as well, and you get two back to back. That'd be special.
Yeah, and we'd have a Rahm Slam watch going into next Masters. It'd be, I don't know, we'd have to come up with a name for that, but you'd have something there.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be like a Rombo slam. I don't know. We'd figure it out. Sia, that leaves us with two. So it doesn't. There are two big question marks here. One is Rory McIlroy, who I think as the week goes on, I'm going to convince myself that he's not that big of a question mark. And the other one is Dustin Johnson, who could I be any more neutral on? I think he's been fine. I don't know if $10,400 is a price I want to pay for fine. Any thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be super low owned and you're playing a big GPP, go ahead and play Dustin Johnson. But outside of that, in my single entries, in my cash games, I just don't see myself getting to Dustin Johnson. He's been, and I'm stating something that everybody knows that's watching this show, but he's been so underwhelming lately. And that's normally fine because you could say to yourself, well, okay, but he's an elite golfer and he can bounce back at any time. The only problem with that is the other four golfers in this range are sort of already in that bounce back mode, or have sort of proven over the last 3, 4, 5, 10 tournaments that they're really gearing up or they're in perfect form. So it just doesn't, to me, it doesn't make sense to lean on, oh, well, maybe he can pop now versus guys where I know that are already popping. So it's an ownership thing only for me if he's super low owned.
Ben Kress is his worst putting surface. It's the only one that he doesn't gain strokes on. Greg, that leaves us with Rory, who I look at the Open Championship history. So here are his last 4 years. We know he missed the cut at Portrush. He took, I believe, an 8 on the opening hole after he popped one OB, right? As I'm remembering that accurately.
Yeah, that's right.
And the three before that were a runner-up finish, a fourth, and a fifth. He just won a couple of starts ago at the Wells Fargo Championship. What in the world do we do with Rory?
Don't play him. Really? You go with Rahm. I think you play Rahm, or I think you play Brooks Koepka. I mean, these guys are proven commodities that every single time in major championships, they show up. And to me, Rory McIlroy is just too big of a miscut risk. I don't think he has control over the driver. I don't think he knows where the ball is going. And I don't think he is the rough player that, say, a Bryson DeChambeau is. So, and Bryson, we can get to a little bit later. I'm not saying I'm high on him either, but I don't love Rory. I don't see really any positives other than his recent form. He missed every single fairway in the last round of the Irish Open. He missed the cut at the Scottish Open. I don't see a confident Rory McIlroy. It's risky to say this. He could prove me wrong. That's why he's the second highest priced player in the field. But when you have the guys that are surrounding Rory McIlroy right now, I stay away. And I see very little benefit in playing Rory. I do believe he'll be more popular than he should be. People are going to play Rory because he's Rory. And he's very good. And there's win equity there, of course. But I don't like what I'm seeing with him. I don't think he's as confident in his swing as he may be leading on. So I don't see a lot of good for Rory personally.
You know, we're not going to talk about every single player in the field, but there's one guy in the 10K range we haven't talked about. See, I imagine he's going to be incredibly popular. His name is Xander Schauffele. He has been tinkering with that arm lock putting style. Now it seems as if he's going away from that early on Monday. You know, he's in his practice rounds. He was not using it, which he actually putted better before without doing it. Maybe it took him a little bit to really gear up, but I think Xander's going to be maybe the most popular golfer on the slate.
Yeah, he's going to be really popular, especially in this range being the lowest guy. And he's going to grade out really well in everybody's models too. Obviously, the ball striking is really great. I don't think I'm going to play Xander, especially when he's popular. I like to lay off Xander because he tends to not close. But the putter thing is interesting to me because now it gives me some question. You know, the putter hasn't been that bad for him, but we know, you know, prior to the arm lock, he could really pop with the putter. That gives me a little bit more confidence in him in terms just from a putting volatility standpoint. I think maybe if he thinks he found something and that's why he's switching, this could be kind of maybe finally his moment where he actually closes a tournament. But I got to be honest, he's going to be really popular. Probably not for me. I will defer to the two guys I mentioned before.
I'm thrilled, by the way, that he switched back because I think it was I do not like that he switched, and I don't like what he said about it, and I don't like anything about it. I think it was a terrible decision. If I were if I spoke to Xander, I would tell him not to do it. If I was his coach, I wouldn't let him do it. He's a great putter, and I'm all for trying to get better, but you got to understand, you got to have your roadmap here. And I, part of me feels like he was trying to prove something to not himself. And he's not at a point where if Phil Mickelson wants to prove a point and try arm lock because he's trying to say that it shouldn't be allowed, I'm okay with that. And I just got that feeling from Xander. Maybe it's unfair to say, but for him to switch because it's a quote unquote advantage, I think it proved an even bigger point in the other direction. So I love that he's back because it was one of the best putting strokes on tour. And he was one of the best putters on tour. And so I expect that to kind of come back to form. I expect a good week out of him. Popularity may stray you away, but I think he will be the most popular for good reason.
I think it was a get rich quick scheme. He was like, well, I'm already pretty good at golf. I'm already a pretty good putter. What if this thing is just like magic and I start to roll everything in? Let me try it. And then he's like, maybe not.
Maybe not. It's an advantage, but not for everybody.
$9,000 range. This is really interesting. Bryson DeChambeau is 9,900. Jordan Spieth, 97. Justin Thomas is 96. And then you get Louis Oosthuizen, who's been on an absolute roll. A couple of guys with no Open Championship experience in Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland, and then Terrell Hatton rounding out this group. Sia, what do you see?
Does Bryson get Aaron Rodgers to help him this week, or is that
not
a thing?
Might need it, man. Aaron, how good was Aaron Rodgers?
Thank you, by the way.
Congratulations. You got that right.
Sorry, we didn't bet.
First of all, Aaron Rodgers was unbelievable. He carried Bryson through that thing.
Yes.
Brady was not.
Yeah, yes, Brady was just indeed as bad as he was the last time. I didn't think that was possible. Yeah. It was definitely possible.
I took a victory lap on Twitter, guys. I don't know if you saw it. But the point is, I'm going to pass right over Bryson DeChambeau. I kind of like Jordan Spieth. I kind of want one of you two, or if not both of you, to convince me one way or the other, because I haven't really decided on him. Guys, I have decided on Louis Oosthuizen. I just, the track record, there's just really no disputing it. I mean, he's been so good. The recent form's been so good. The major form has been so good. The Open Championship form has been pretty good. So I think he's, I don't want to call him safe necessarily, because that's just one of those jinx words that I'll want to take back in a few days. But I think he's priced fairly. And I think in this crowd, he's going to find more fairways. He's going to find more greens in regulation, and he can get hot with the putter. So that's a guy I probably like the most. I may take a chance on Colin Morikawa and Jordan Spieth, but right now those are the only three I'm focused on.
The number one putter on tour this season is Louis Oosthuizen. Let me take a crack at the Jordan Spieth, convincing you on Spieth since the start of 2021. It is Jordan Spieth, not John Rahm, who has been the best player on the PGA Tour. Spieth has gained 1.98 strokes per round. John Rahm, 1.96. Obviously very, very close, but Spieth has been phenomenal. I think he possesses the creativity that is required to hoist a claret jug. Greg, would you like to weigh in on the $9,000 range?
I think Jordan Spieth is the play here for the reasons you just mentioned. He is a confident player right now. The style of golf fits him very well. Again, you have a golf course where you'll see pictures on the internet of the golf course kind of at high contrast. So you can really see the undulation in the fairway and on the greens and how much the property kind of ripples. And that makes it very difficult to hit fairways. So in a way, an accurate player gets the bad break a little bit. More, you hit a bad shot, it goes into the rough, you hit it into the rough, right? But you hit a shot down the middle of the fairway that bounces into the rough, it can get very frustrating. Yeah, right. And I think everybody's going to have to deal with that to some extent. We'll see how firm it gets. The bouncier it gets, the more into play that comes. But at the same time, when it's a little more green, that rough gets a little bit thicker. We've all seen videos of that so far. So Jordan, to me, has that kind of the magic and the creativity that is perfect for an Open Championship. And I love what he's done with the putter this year. I love what he's done around the greens. I love the iron play. And the other thing I really like is it doesn't ask for distance off the tee the way an Augusta National does, right? You can kind of plot your way around and not feel like you're losing anything. It's okay to be sneaky long. One reason why I like Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland as well. But those are kind of the guys in that range that I like. I think Jordan Spieth has a real chance of winning this week. So I'm going to be pretty heavy Spieth.
Okay. So there is not a flat lie in the fairway at Royal St. George's. You know somewhere else that doesn't really give you a flat lie? Anybody?
Augusta National.
Oh, Jordan Spieth's been pretty good there. I mean, like this, I just love this.
How about Kapalua?
Jordan Spieth's been pretty good there.
Yeah.
I'm convinced, by the way. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. We went, that was a big, yeah. Okay. So let's go into, so Greg mentioned Victor Hovland. To me, I love this. So let me present this case to you, Sia, because Greg has already kind of mentioned that he at least likes him a little bit. We have here a golfer who is, of widely considered a great ball striker, who has improved his short game, who has won in two windy scenarios, Puerto Rico, Mayakoba, who just added a European Tour victory 2 weeks ago. And he's 90, is he 9,100 or 9,000? 9,100. I think Victor Hovland could win this.
Yeah. Part of the reason I mentioned Colin Morikawa over Victor Hovland, and I should have clarified, is because I don't think anybody's going to be really on Colin Morikawa. I do think people will be on Victor Hovland. So I just kind of thought in this tournament it would be a nice contrarian play, but you're right about Victor Hovland. I mean, I totally get it. The lack of British Open experience, or excuse me, Open Championship experience, I've done it again, is a little concerning, like it would be with Colin, for example. But I don't know why, I think with Hovland, I have a little bit of a blind spot because I know he can have that blow-up hole. Now, I'm a big fan of Hovland, but him being young and not having the Open Championship experience gets me sort of nervous about him having that one or two terrible holes and just, it could all fall apart. So I agree with you. I think he's a great play. I do think he could contend here. For whatever reason, right now, I'm not on him.
See, I think the blow-up hole that Victor Hovland is kind of known for is why he can win this tournament, why the experience doesn't matter. And the same is true for Morikawa, but not the blow up hole aspect, but the attitude aspect. These two guys are not inexperienced. They are, even though they haven't played in an Open Championship before, it almost feels like they have in a very strange way. And the only reason I say that is they're prepared for this. They're prepared for this mentally. Victor Hovland gets a bad break into the rough, and I don't know if there's any player in the field who's more equipped to handle it, which is so bizarre because he's so young. Morikawa would be a rival. Spieth would be a rival in that these guys understand how to handle those situations. And it's a thing of beauty to watch. And I give them a real chance where they're weak. I think those areas are mitigated to a degree in the open. Their chances of putting well increases in an open championship for Victor Hovland, the short game concerns. There's some more workarounds in short game. It's still important. I'm not saying short game's not important, but where Victor Hovland is weak is more pitching. And so if he can utilize the putter a little bit more, utilize a 5-wood a little bit more, in a way, it can allow him to tap into a creative side more so than worry about his technique and pitching. So, I kind of expect these guys to both have a really nice week. I lean a little more Hovland than Morikawa, but see, I understand where you're coming from. I could go either way.
Can I ask just like the around the green game though? And I know Hovland's improved, but if you look like last 36 rounds, last 24 rounds, it's not great. I mean, does that concern you at this venue?
No, I think it's different. I think it's a completely different style of short game. Statistics for me this week mean less than they do any other week on tour. They're almost not even worth looking at unless you just want to try to gauge someone's confidence. You want to see if someone's really struggling in a certain area. You know, this guy's got the driver yips. Okay, that's not going to be good on any kind of golf course. But strokes gained off the tee isn't a metric where, you know, I'm drooling about if somebody's really good. Distance is a non-factor, basically. So I look at the short game as more long putting than anything else in a way. Because you always have that option unless you're in a bunker. And even the bunker play is different than it is here in the States. It's a completely different style. So the weaknesses to me are not the same. They're going to be better this week than normal.
I want to move on to the 8K range, but I can't let you guys off the hook by skipping Bryson DeChambeau at $9,900. So Sia, how are you going to approach Bryson this week?
No Bryson for me. I am going to stand on what I said this day, 7 days ago, when I said that I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be bailing Bryson out. I don't like the game. I don't know that he's a really good course fit. I hate the approach game right now. And I have so many other guys. I'm kind of tired of the argument with Bryson where it's like, yeah, but his upside. I just disagree. I disagree, especially when that upside hasn't really been achieved anytime in the recent future. So, I mean, give me the upside of the guys around him over him.
Greg, Bryson, what are you doing?
It's going to be a neg for me. I'm out on Bryson. I think Bryson's assets in the United States are not assets. In fact, they may be detractors in the US. You talk about spin rate, you talk about apex, you talk about distance. It's not that distance is a disadvantage, but Bryson hits it with an extremely high apex, which at a US Open is a huge asset. When you're talking about carrying corners of dog legs, it's a huge asset. But at some point, you're forced to play a ground game here. And I think there's a way where he could play well. He's a really good player. But the way this range shapes up, I mean, we never even talked about Justin Thomas, who's right there, who's a much better. So I just think the 9K range is full of better options than Bryson, and I'm staying away.
Fair enough. Okay, we are going to go down to the 8K range. Lots of value in the 7 and the 6s, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to, and super feet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we're back. The $8,000 range starts with the two Patricks, Cantlay and Reed, goes down to Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood. Sia, it's a grab bag. What do you like out of this range?
I love the top two there. I can't believe Patrick Cantlay is in the 8K range, to be honest with you.
I agree.
Way better than that. I mean, we'll notice that there's just, well, I guess I want to call it misprice. So far in this week, I've heard, you know, misprices with respect to guys that are lower in the field, and we'll address that. But I think this is a misprice too. And I think Patrick Cantlay, I mean, he's been doing everything really well. He's been a little erratic off the tee. He hasn't been finding a ton of fairways lately, but that's okay. We just talked about how that might not be a huge issue relative to some of the other things we're looking at. Approach game has been there. Off the tee game overall has been there. I don't see an argument against him at this price. This is really good value.
Since the start of 2021, only three golfers have gained more strokes per round than Patrick Cantlay. Their names are Jordan Spieth, Jon Rahm, and Colin Morikawa. And that includes the slump that Patrick Cantlay went through, in which he missed four cuts in seven starts. I mean, it's impressive that he is still even on that list. He's $8,900. Greg, I thought I heard an endorsement from Patrick Cantlay. You can hit on that. And is there other, or are there others in this range that you are certainly considering?
Yeah, the range is full of them. I mean, yeah. I would say the top three who are playing don't play Hideki. He's out. But Cantlay, for all the reasons Sia mentioned, he's also a very creative player. He likes to move the. If you talk to his coach, he moves the ball. He shapes it on every shot. He visualizes in that manner. So I love Cantlay for that reason. And Patrick Reed's very similar. These guys are not necessarily ball strikers, they're shot makers, which doesn't mean they hit the ball poorly. It just means they maneuver the ball around a golf course. And you picture the helicopter finish for Patrick Reed that won him the Masters. He works the ball with draws. He's learned that hold off kind of fade as a creative, a short game as anybody, and maybe the best putter in the world. Statistics don't bear that out, but maybe if you extend it over to 2015, he may be the best putter for that long of a stretch. But then you get to the one that really has my interest, and it's Paul Casey. Mm-hmm. So why Paul Casey?
Well, Paul Casey.
Yes, I was hoping Jacob was like not asleep at the wheel. Yeah, good job, Jacob.
He was on it. Yeah, good job. Give me Paul Casey. The reason being, he might be the guy this week. If you're going down the Sia Najad narrative street and you're expecting a big story, you're expecting a first-time major winner, everybody seems to be looking toward Lee Westwood. Yes. And Rick, as you know, back in whenever that was, January.
Oh, yeah.
I made a little early call on Lee Westwood.
This is coming due now.
It's coming due now. And so when we get to 7K, you can mark me down for Lee Westwood. I'm very pro Westwood this week, but it's played out almost too well where everybody's looking at Lee Westwood as a great sleeper. And he is. I'm not taking anything away from him. But Paul Casey may be the forgotten guy in a very similar category. So Paul Casey's coming off of, it was 36th at the Travelers, which is just okay, right? Not great. Didn't really play any bad rounds, but never got hot. Then at the US Open, he was 7th. At the Porsche European Open, he was 6th. At the PGA, he was 4th. We remember what he did at the PGA at Harding Park. His major championships have been phenomenal. They've been absolutely fantastic. And I feel like he's really, really, really confident right now. And I could see a Darren Clark's kind of story come to life again with Paul Casey. Lee Westwood, I think, is in that category too, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Paul Casey. And Paul Casey is playing some really good golf right now. And he's definitely got the game to win a major. Question is, what is he going to do when he really gets that chance? And I think he's shown steps forward where in recent majors, it hasn't been, he hasn't necessarily fallen off. He just hasn't quite done enough. Like, he shot 70 in the final round of the US Open. PGA Championship, he shot 71. That was, he shot 371s that week. It's not like he choked it away, which means he's strong. He's playing consistent golf. He's ready to perform for 4 days in a tournament. And I wouldn't be surprised if this was a Paul Casey week at all. And I'm definitely going to play a lot of Paul Casey.
So, Greg, you said something that got me curious. You said, if you go back to the start of 2015, Patrick Reed's probably the best putter. And I was like, oh, well, let me check this out. So I did. He's very, very close. There are, I'm throwing out small sample sizes. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 golfers with at least 2000 round, or excuse me, 200 rounds that are better than Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed's 6. So you're absolutely on the right track.
Okay.
Yeah. That's close. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
He's good every year. Any of them name brand players?
So, that's the question. Can you name any of them, or would you like to take a crack at it? They're in this field, if that helps. So I've narrowed it down to just guys in this field.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very interesting.
So yeah, that narrows it down,
man. I'm not really sure where to start.
I don't know if I would get these. I'll be real honest.
It makes me think Denny McCarthy is not a.
He doesn't have enough rounds.
That would be my guess. So he's probably out. Spieth has had a couple of years that were really bad. So I'm guessing he's out.
Yeah, he's like 10th or 11th. Yeah.
Right. So where does that leave me?
No, because Louis just kind of turned into a years too. Yeah, he just kind of really turned into this really good putter. Louis is below Jordan Spieth. Louis is like 25th. It's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to go.
Number one is Brendan Todd.
Okay.
Number two is Brant Snedeker.
Okay.
Number three is Harris English. Number four is a former number one player you should get.
Jason Day. I should have gotten that one before you even mentioned it.
Jason Day, number four. And then number five.
These weren't that hard.
Number five. Is a guy that we're going to talk about in the next range that I think a lot of people like this week. He is a European.
It's not Fitzpatrick.
It's Fitzpatrick. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Matt Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
Okay.
223.
Rounds. That one, I would not have gotten that one. Well, I obviously can't say that.
I'll give you credit for this. Of anybody who has as many rounds as Patrick Reed, he's number one. No, yeah. All these guys have less rounds. That's the consistency of how good he has been for a very,
and
very
no
long
one's
time.
No one's contended at the level that Patrick Reed has in that. These are guys out a win here and there, shoot a 59 at the Wyndham, something like that. And they've had their moments, but none of them have had the play, the performance over a steady period of time as Patrick Reed. So
Jason Day might have an issue with that statement, but otherwise you're absolutely right.
Since 2015. Yeah. I guess 15, 16 were pretty good for Jason Day. He reached number one in the world.
Yeah.
I digress.
Sia, for the very first time in a long time, Tony Finau is not a free space at a major championship. He's normally a free space, not only for the top 10 upside, but the ability to score a lot of fantasy points. He enters this week off two consecutive missed cuts, but his Open Championship history, better than most guys in this field.
Yeah, but it's history. That's the operative word in my opinion. I'm not going to do it again. I haven't been a Tony Finau guy, but I got to admit, there have been a few times that I've been on Tony Finau at reasonable prices with that upside that we talked about. Like, it's been a disaster every time I've dove into those waters. So I'm really just not interested. I agree that he has upside, and I agree 8,400 is a really good price to pay for somebody that has that type of potential. So if you want to do it, go for it. But for me, I'm just going to pivot way away from him.
The only other name that I think I want to at least spend a hair of oxygen on is Scottie Scheffler. Played well in at the Scottish Open last week. He doesn't have the Open Championship experience, but he's been playing really well. Seventh at the U.S. Open, third at the Memorial, eighth at the PGA. This feels like a guy who's rocking and rolling in the right direction.
Yeah, he's Scottie Scheffler is an elite driver of the golf ball. He's a really, really good driver. And although his strokes gained approach numbers aren't great, they're not terrible. He hits a lot of greens in regulation, which I think can be a good thing. He's also a good putter. He's got a really solid style of game, and he does kind of strike me as a creative type. I don't feel as strongly about him as a rookie as I do about Morikawa and Hovland. I don't know if I have a great reason why. I just don't see him with the same kind of attitude and strength that they have. Maybe that's unfair, but he's not a bad play because he has a lot of upside too. He has win equity, even though he hasn't won yet. I really think he has the ability to win a major championship right now. I don't think he has to wait. The only question is, does he believe that he can win now? Does he believe that his first major can be an Open Championship? And unfortunately, he hasn't really proved that to me. So that's where I wonder. But he is definitely a solid play.
The 7K range stacked starts with the aforementioned Matt Fitzpatrick and our technically defending champion, Shane Lowry, goes all the way down to, let's see, Victor Perez, Henrik Stenson, Matt Kuchar, Brandt Snedeker, Billy Horschel at $7,000 flat. See ya. I have a feeling you like this range.
I mean, what's not to like? There's so many guys you can make an argument for. It's going to be really tough to. And by the way, this is where kind of the wind issues come up. If you can't decide between a group of guys in the 7K range and it becomes Wednesday night and we know there's some sort of edge, you know, maybe that's where you end up, you know, taking a stand on, let's say, a Matt Fitzpatrick over a Jason Day, for example. I do like Matt Fitzpatrick. I do like the price, but I got to be honest, I will play him. There's so many other guys I like in this range, though, that I think if he's going to be really popular, I think I can pivot. Some of the guys I like, we talked about Harris English a little bit on the First Look show yesterday. I think Harris English is in such good form. Again, we talked about it over the last month or so where he had that back injury, and then all of a sudden, like Greg anticipated, he just shot back to form, and he's striking the ball so well right now. I think he's really underpriced. A few other guys I like, listen, Daniel Berger, pretty, to me, even though he doesn't have the best Open track record, it's a misprice in my opinion. I don't think he should be, is it 7,400? Yeah, he's 7,400. The recent form is not great, but it's not really bad either. I think he has plenty of upside here. I'll mention just two other names that I think are going to be kind of lower owned guys. I don't know that. Cam Smith is one of them. I mean, the metrics don't jump off the page to me. They never do with Cam Smith, but this is the type of course, and we've already talked about it, where you're looking for like technicians, magicians, if you will. And I think he sort of fits that profile where like the Patrick Reeds of the world, where he can just kind of, you know, the shot shapes, be creative. He can just kind of make it happen in spite of the fact that, you know, let's say the approach numbers don't look very good. The last guy I'll mention, Sergio Garcia. A guy, by the way, Rick, who's pretty good in the wind, which I know you take exception to that comment, but supposedly. I wonder, Greg and Rick, I wanted your opinion here too. My understanding is the greens are going to be a little slower out here versus some of the other, you know, events that we've had where the cent meters, you know, been 10 plus. I wonder if that helps a guy like Sergio. I think it does, Greg, but I do want your confirmation. There you go. So I think we got a good ball striker. We got a guy who has plenty of links experience. We got a savvy veteran, a guy that nobody's going to be paying attention to because he's such a disaster with the putter. I have a feeling about Sergio Garcia.
Yeah, the greens, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, they kind of have to be slower when you get an exposed course like this. You can't have run the stimp to 13 and have the wind blow these balls all over the place.
Right. And so they don't do that. They don't allow for that. There's also some dramatic, in a way, there's some dramatic undulation and parts. So if you have long putts, you may have some really, really big ridges to navigate. They're not necessarily like Augusta National undulating, where there's a severe amount of tilt, where you're going to have a 20-foot putt that breaks 20 feet because it just continues to break and break and break. You're going to have breaks on ridges and on edges. And see it to your question, when greens get slower, breaks are less. So even if you had a 4-degree tilt that was exactly the same tilt as it was at Augusta National, it would break significantly less. And so when putts get straighter, which they do because they get slower, putts get straighter, speed becomes less important. It's still important and putting's still important, but line becomes a lot more important, and you have a guy who's not a skilled Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed type putter can putt really well. Again, putting is still crucial. It's a very important thing, but you're more likely to get a Henrik Stenson fill it up on the greens than you are at Augusta National. He's much less likely to do it there than he is at an Open Championship. So I like a Sergio Garcia is an interesting pick. He has some really, his last two starts have been really good. He has 10 top 10s in Open Championships, although none in the last three starts. But his record is stout. And if you're following along with the narratives, this is another possible narrative because he's had many, many close calls here at the Open Championship. And back in 2011, because I know everybody was wondering, he came in tied ninth. So I think Sergio's a really, really solid play.
I kind of like Alex Noren. He's 7,200. I don't mind the miscut last week. He's been piling up top 25 finishes, just missed out on a playoff, at the Rocket Mortgage Classic 2 weeks ago. His three Open Championship starts since 2017, 6th, 17th, 11th. That is pretty good golf. Greg, we kind of teed you up on Sergio Garcia. Were there others or someone else in the 7K range that you wanted to make sure we talk about before we head out to the 6Ks?
Yeah. Lee Westwood, right?
Yeah. Last time, right?
2014. So again, he's played 25 Open Championships. It's quite a few. He has a second. He has a third. He's got six top tens. He's made 19 cuts, which is a lot. So it's not the record that Sergio has, where there's contention after contention after contention, year after year after year. But it's really quite good. And the other thing about Lee Westwood is the form has been good, not great, which maybe that's a good thing, but for the year, it's been a really, really strong year. So I love what I've seen out of Lee Westwood, and I got to stick to my guns from way back when.
Yeah, this was like
nobody would remember.
Yeah, you should have just waited till he won it and then like brought it up. Or if he doesn't, just never bring it up again. But well, to your credit. So I believe this was, if I remember correctly, we did like a way too early major preview before the year started.
Yes.
And we all picked winners, I think, for each major. You picked Lee Westwood. And at the time, we laughed and laughed and laughed. And he was 150-1 or 200-1 or something crazy. Then he started winning and he started contending. We were like, oh boy. And now our friends over at William Hill have him at 40-1. So Greg, I will give you a tip of the cap because you certainly got the better number on it by a significant margin.
Right. And yeah, I had a couple. He wasn't my only guy, so it wasn't like he was my whore. I thought Dustin Johnson was, but that was back when he was the best player in the world. So how times have changed. But the Lee Westwood thing has really come into fruition. It's been a great year form-wise for him, and he's somebody that I am very interested in. Another guy who has my interest, another one you may laugh and laugh and laugh at, Ricky Fowler.
Ricky Fowler.
Yes. See, I for my picks based on sound bites that we have.
Smart, actually.
It's unfortunately, I can't go with the Bubba Watson. I thought off the top we were going to say Bubba Watson has unfortunately had to withdraw so we could get that sound bite too.
You know what you can't also go with?
Kevin Na Fowler. We have a Mudball one. We have the give me Paul Casey. I hope
we have the Siwoo. We have the Mudball. We might actually be fully out except for Paul Casey.
Yeah, we're close. Maybe you could play the Mudball one at some point randomly. But the thing I like about Ricky Fowler is every time I say it, I want to hear that sound. But the thing I really like is tied sixth last year. He was tied second in 2014. He was tied fifth here at Royal St. George's back in 2011. He's only missed one cut in his career here. He's made nine of them. So I think Ricky has put together a really solid Open Championship resume, and he likes to play a creative style of game. He likes to work the ball. I remember being down at Medalist and watching all the guys, and Ricky was there all the time, and he moved the ball a lot more than most players. Most players, very straight. It's impressive, but very straight. Ricky moved it significantly, and they worked on that. So that kind of creativity, I think, is an advantage. His short game has been great all year, and I think it will continue. The putting has really come around for him. And the Travelers was a weak event, but I think that was kind of a one-off. He started to get a little bit better with his he's had three of his last four starts have been top 30 strokes gain approach finishes. And for a guy that's 146 for the year, that's pretty good. It's a marketable change. And looking at his swing, he's really made some nice changes with John Tillery. And I think it's starting to come into form. And he's at a point where he can play golf now. So I like the direction Ricky's going in. And I think an Open Championship could be the perfect landing spot for him to really make some noise.
We got to get down to the $6,000 range. And Sia, do you just want to do the Sam Burns stuff now or later?
Let's get it over with now.
All right. Sam Burns is $6,300. It is, to me, a very obvious misprice for a guy who is a PGA Tour winner this year. He's 80-1. You start to look at some of the names around him. They're like 300 or 400-1. It's a mistake. It's a mistake price, right, Sia?
Yeah, I think it is. I wonder though, Rick, where do you think the price should be?
If you told me he was 73,000, I wouldn't be surprised.
7,300.
Yeah, I think 73,000. I'd be very surprised. 7,300.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
Nobody would play him.
You can't. Anybody but Sam Burns. You can take anybody.
Big
but
time
Sam
contrarian play.
Yeah, 7,300.
I think that's right. I think it's probably 7,300, 7,400. Makes sense. I'll be honest though. I'm not sure. Please, I'd like to know your opinion on this. I think for most of the single entry GPPs that I'm going to be doing are three maxes, which is what I like to play more than most things. I don't know that I'm going to be playing much of him. I don't know, like, as much as he should be like 7,400, that doesn't make him a guy that's like, oh, well, he's kind of like more lockish to make the cut. And I think that's where the value is there. I totally get it. But if he's going to be really popular in that range, I'm not sure I'm going to play him because I think his missed cut equity is still pretty high.
Yeah, so that's the problem. If this was basketball, if this was football, you have a lot more consistent results. There's still a really good chance Sam Burns misses the cut, even if he is $1,000 mispriced. Now, with that being said, I think the really valuable part to Sam Burns is on a week where the pricing is already very soft, you could go ham and cheese with him in your lineup. I mean, you can get whatever you want, any way you want it. It would really be interesting, and it's not a true scrub punt like you would normally get down here. So that to me is the bigger value than just being like, oh my God, Sam Burns should be $1,000 more expensive. He's going to go win this thing. Like, no, I think he's still a risk, but I think that he would open up a lot of really intriguing builds for you.
And to me, that's the only reason I completely agree with what Sia said. It's like, if you feel like you want to get Xander Schauffele and Brooks on your team together, that's how you do it. Because honestly, the 6K range is not that impressive. Although pricing is softer, the real benefit to the softer pricing to me is in the 7K range. When you get to the 6K range, there's still a lot of the things we normally deal with in the 6K range where there's much more miscut risk. And there's miscut risk from the very top of the board all the way to the bottom because it's an open championship and that's just the way that it is. But there doesn't seem to be a home run play down here. But that being said, I think the closest thing to it, I think the safest play in this range is Charlie Hoffman. And he has played some pretty good golf in open championships. He has missed the cut three times, but not since 2015. He has two top 20s in his last three starts here. So he's played some good golf, not great. But this year, I think, is just such a strong year for him. It's hard for me to look away. And I'm much more comfortable going with a Charlie Hoffman than I am with Sam Burns, even though there's a $400 price difference. I still think Charlie Hoffman opens up a lot of options in your pricing, and I feel like he's a safe play. So he's a 30th at the Travelers. The U.S. Open didn't go great, but he made the cut. Memorial was the same. Charles Schwab Challenge, he came in third, and that was the end of his really hot streak. But I don't feel like I don't think that's gone. I think he had a couple. The Memorial and U.S. Open didn't go great for him. So what? I still think he has a real chance of making that happen this week.
I've been burned by Sam Burns in two major championships this year. Might as well just make it three. We'll figure out how that one
goes.
Yeah,
I understand that. I can understand that.
I'm partial to Lucas Herbert, who has played well here on the PGA Tour for his last two. Just won on the European Tour. Just finished fourth in Scotland last week. Sia Ryan Palmer is at the top of this range. I'm assuming that is a little bit inspiring for you. But who else in this $6,000 range is moving the needle?
Yeah, I like Palmer because I don't think a lot of people will be on him. He also tied with Herbert, tied for fourth last week at the Scottish Open. His experience, his British Open Championship experience is plentiful. So I think he's an interesting option, especially at low ownership, which I anticipate. Stuart Sink is interesting. He's got the Open experience, of course. Recent form is really good. This year, he's just been really good. He's good off the tee. The ball striking has been good. A couple other names. Richard Bland, I was on him a few weeks back, and I think, you know, he won the British Masters, which I believe was back in April or May. So he has, you know, he can close tournaments. Not that he's going to win this one, but he has been pretty good lately. And then I'll just mention Chris Kirk and Matt Jones. Chris Kirk is, I think, 6,400. He's super cheap. I think Matt Jones is a really good course fit here. One other name I'm going to throw out there, because you mentioned Charlie Hoffman, Greg, and I totally agree with you. Great ball striker. If you ran models anytime in the last like 6 to 8 weeks, Charlie Hoffman would be in your top five, almost no matter what. And almost no matter how you did your model. Another guy that fits that description and who may have a better experience putting this week is Keegan Bradley. And I, again, he's 6,800. I understand. I understand the sentiment and the reaction, but I just think, listen, I just told you that I kind of liked Sergio Garcia, right? So I think there's guys that are really good ball strikers that you could potentially take a chance on. And Keegan at 6,800, I don't mind putting him in a GPP.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Sia. It just doesn't sit very well with me.
I get it.
Doesn't feel Charlie Hoffman to me feels like you just came home after a long day and you have a nice meal and you get in bed and it's nice and comfy and warm and you know that all is right in the world. Okay. That's where that Keegan Charlie Bradley Hoffman does not that feel that way. This week he's in the 6K range. I feel really good about Charlie Hoffman. Keegan Bradley, I don't feel very. I feel like that is risky behavior. Very risky. And
it's like eating gas station sushi is Keegan Bradley.
That's a great. You know, the soy sauce is great and it can mask any flavor. And the food dye as well. But you just don't know what you're really getting. So
I'm so upset with Keegan, man. He was laying the blueprint, and I was like, yes, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then, you know, his last two, he's been just horrible with the putter again. That is what he had been avoiding for a long time. So I don't know if that was just a couple of, you know, two months worth of a blip, or I don't know what's going on anymore. I've lost my Keegan compass. I have no idea. What's your
His open experience is really pretty bad too. So what that means is nobody's going to be on him. And so I'm going to win all the money because I'm playing Keegan Bradley.
I like it. I can see the avenue there, Sia. But
it's a small avenue, yeah. Admittedly.
I got another one other guy that I'm interested in to a degree. Sure. And he's an American. I thought he was going to have a breakout year this year, and it's been pretty good. Hasn't quite been breakout, but it's been pretty good. Taylor Gooch. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he put together a really nice week. He's been on nice form lately. He's played well in big events. So I think he could be an interesting option as well. He's also the same price as Adam Hadwin. But I'm pivoting off of Hadwin to Gooch for myself.
You're the only guy who has to pivot off of Adam Hadwin. It's usually not highly owned enough. Gooch, very good ball striker, almost always sub 10%, and he certainly will be this week as well. Gentlemen, absolute pleasure as always. We are not done by any stretch of the imagination this week. Tuesday is your mega preview pod. Wednesday, ooh, a little something special on Wednesday, looking like 6 p.m. Eastern time for a YouTube exclusive. So make sure you join us on YouTube. First Cuts Pod, I believe, is the YouTube extension. You'll find it. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, that's Sia Najad, who you can find on Twitter at Sia Najad, and Greg Ducharme, who you can find at The Real GFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.